Joining me in the studio after years of this interview, years in the making, the one and only Trish Stratus. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Excellent.
Now, you've got a movie coming out called Bounty Hunters, and the big DVD release is tomorrow? Or is that like the theatrical release is tomorrow?
It's the big DVD release, but we will be celebrating said release with a theatrical preview, a screening, so to speak. And it's going to be a red carpet event, and fans are going to come down and support it, and it should be a really fun time.
Now, you probably get some pretty savage fans because you're like... You are, as I say, a big turning point in the WWE. It seemed like to go through a big transition, and you were part of that, like, rebirth of it, you know?
Yeah, I was, kind of, wasn't I?
Yeah. That's, no,
thank
don't,
you.
And don't feel conceited saying it when
it
you said
it. It was all me.
Yeah, it was me. I had a lot of ideas, and we changed the way it was done. So do you get, like, still a lot of people that latch onto that, or is it a new breed of fan?
You know, WWE fans, I've always said this, are the most loyal fans in the world. And I'm super lucky because they're just supportive. I mean, they've been following me from, you know, my transition out of the WWE. I dabble still. I go back every once in a while. Last year I was, I mean, who would have thunk I teamed up with Snooki and wrestled once again at WrestleMania last year. So, you know, the fans have been with me through my journey. They support me in all these things. And, you know, I'm sure tomorrow we will see a lot of them come out to support me.
Well, did you find that it really opened up like loads of doors for you as a person? Because I see on TV you're on the health segment on CP24 doing yoga, and now you're making movies. Like, you're doing a lot of stuff. How did it all begin for you?
Like, we're talking the beginning?
Yes.
Wow. You
Four score, 7 years ago.
You haven't done your research?
I haven't done. I could read it on Wikipedia, but no, people would rather hear you talk about it.
Well, I'll tell you what. It happened. The turning point for me, I think, of my life, I was actually going to York University and I was going to become a doctor. So just boring life, going to be a doctor and, you know, help people through treating them. And then in 1997, the York University went on strike. My medical plans were put on hold and I was like, oy, what do I do now? And then at that point, I just was kind of, you know, the universe sort of took over. You know how you say right place, right time?
Mm-hmm.
I happened to be available when I got approached by Robert Kennedy, publisher of the number one health and fitness magazines in the world, Oxygen Magazine, Muscle Mag Magazine. He approached me to do some fitness modeling, and I was happy to be available. If I was in school, I probably would have said, no, I'm busy. I'm going to med school after all. And so I did my first fitness modeling shoot, my first professional photo shoot back in 98. And my first photo shoot turned into my first cover, and he contracted me. So that's kind of how I started in the fitness world. And then he contracted me and sort of, he did kind of what Vince McMahon does in the WWE. It's kind of one of those, he put me on the cover and said, this is Trish Stratus. She's the newest and hottest fitness model. And people kind of bought it. So I had to live up to it.
Were you like always living like the active lifestyle before that? Like, did you play a lot of sports?
Yep, played a lot of sports. I was always athletic. I played varsity level field hockey for York University. I played rep soccer till I was 21 years old. So I was always playing sports. When I got approached to do the fitness modeling, that was the first time I actually trained specifically for aesthetics purposes. Mm-hmm. You know, I was always doing sports related fitness. So it's been a huge part of my life. My mom's heavily into fitness and she still works out to this day. And so it's just been part of my life. So then, you know, the wrestling kind of came naturally to me because as a kid, I watched wrestling and I went to Maple Leaf Gardens and most kids, they do suplexes before they're supposed to.
Yeah. So did when you started getting into the WWE stuff, was it like a really natural transition because you'd done all these sports before? Like, was there a point I'm getting at is where you're like, oh my God, I really am doing this for real now?
Physically, you mean?
Or physically.
I think so. I think it was, you know, I made my debut and at the time I was brought on to be, you know, a manager. So I was kind of just the eye candy. And I knew that like my ultimate goal in the WWE was to be more physical and to deliver as a performer, not just a, you know, manager or the eye candy as I was being presented with in the beginning.
Did you push that idea yourself or was it like pushed on you?
Which
to like get more physical and actually take a more of a combative role, as it were, in the ring.
Well, here's the thing. There wasn't really, you know, it's funny because people say to me, like, did you always know you wanted to be, they call me, you know, WWE divas, what they coin the women. Did you always know you wanted to be a wrestler? And there really wasn't any female that you could model after. There wasn't really a modern female wrestler. You know, it was sort of like they either had the Sunnies and the Sables who did like the modeling and sort of the crossover stuff. And then there was the wrestlers. So there wasn't the combination of the two. And I think when I initially came on in 2000, initially I was there for like the, you know, they had like these Divas magazines and things like that. So I had the bikini issues and things like that. And then 2001 was the first time they actually, the title was vacant because China was the last champion and she took it. So there was no real women's division, I guess, so to speak. 2001, they decided to bring back the women's championship. That's when I won the title for the very first time. There was six women wrestlers within the company. They grouped us all together, had a six pack challenge, as they called it. And really that was the beginning of the women's division as we know it. Because it was like the WWE creative decided to be, okay, let's put some, they invested some time into the characters, and that's where it really changed. And it took us a while as performers to even change the perception by fans. They'd watch us and they'd chant puppies and random things like that because that's what they did, or that's what they were used to seeing.
Well, I was, puppies is the first word.
Puppies
that
comes. Is not dogs.
No,
not baby dogs.
I am picking up on that up for a second there. I was like, who doesn't love puppies? But yeah. Yes, yeah. Moving along. So were there, when you say refining the characters, was there a difference between the Trish Stratus character and Trish Stratus in person?
Pretty similar traits, I would say. However, way overamplified when I'm in the ring.
Now, was that the same with most of the wrestlers? Or is there kind of like an unwritten rule about you don't talk about what happens off stage, as it were?
Not
like
really.
You can't really explain, like, what, I'm assuming Bret Michaels isn't the way he is in the ring.
Well, I'll tell you what, the characters that have the most longevity, the ones that really, not only do they connect with the fans, but they've been around the business for the longest, are actually closer to the real personality. Like, their characters come and go, but someone like Stone Cold Steve Austin, like, that's him. You'll go outside the ring, that's Stone Cold Steve Austin. The Rock, pretty much him. Yes, we're going to turn it up a couple notches, and I'm going to be a good, you know, when I'm a good guy or a bad guy, I'm going to be a little different, obviously. When I'm sarcastic, I'll be a little more sarcastic, you know? So, but I think the ones that really connect with the fans, because the fans aren't, they get it. They know that that's what they're kind of latching onto, is like a part of the personality.
So now you've got the Bounty Hunters movie, the premiere, the DVD release tomorrow, AMC, Young and Dundas, right?
Yep.
Okay, just making sure I have everything lined up here. So was there like a really easy transition for you from outside of the WWE to everything else?
I guess, you know, I'm very thankful that the Canadian media really embraced my success as a performer or as, you know, an entertainment entity. And so when I retired in 2006, I had a lot of opportunities come my way. Right away, I did a show here with Second City. I had a great relationship with them. So did that for CBC, Second City's Next Comedy Legend. I produced my own show for CTV. It was a travel show called Stratosphere. So I was just lucky that I had these relationships. And the media, every time I would do something, when I opened up my yoga studio in Vaughan, it was like media embraced it, wanted to find out more about it. So that's what's helped me kind of, I guess, do what I'm doing today. The film role was just something that, you know, just, I always said I'm not actively pursuing an acting career, but if a great project lands on my desk, obviously I'd entertain it. And so a great project landed on my desk.
Yeah, there's so much, like, that one thing, it's in the trailer if you watch it, because that's all I've seen so far is the trailer. Guy's got the gun, he kicks him, takes the gun out of his hand, puts it over here, all that move. Who is that girl? Like, where does she come from? Because I've never seen her before, and she's pretty, like, she looks like she's really beating people up.
Yes, Andrea James Louie is amazing. She is, her and I, we're pretty convinced that we're fight soul sisters because we just had this amazing chemistry. And, you know, she's a martial artist. She's done a lot of stunt training and she just brought it. Like, she's awesome. I mean, she's very talented. And one side we didn't get to see of her in the film, she plays Ruby, and Ruby doesn't say much at all.
No, she speaks with her fists.
Exactly. But she's part of a comedy troupe, you know, so she does like improv comedy. It's called the, oh gosh, I wish I had the name, Asian Explosion, something along those lines. Yeah. So it's hilarious. She's so funny. And I hope, you know, we get to see more of her in different roles because, you know, she's fantastic.
So how did this movie role come to you? Did somebody call you up? Your agent got in touch with you and then you read it and you're like, this is what I want to do.
I have no agent. So no agent.
Wow.
Yeah, no agent. I just, like I said, I think the universe goes, do you want this? And I'll throw it to you if it's good. But, you know, the director, Patrick, he wrote with me in mind. He wrote this script with, he needed a strong female lead. So he picked Trish Stratus. And he says to me today, he goes, I never thought I'd actually get Trish Stratus to play this role. And basically he wrote the script and one person knew someone and it landed on my desk. I read the role and obviously it screamed Trish Stratus. And to me, I met with him and, you know, I was excited to support a Canadian project, you know, small independent film, small cast and crew, all Canadian. And that was important to me. And just, he had these fight scenes written in there and I was so excited to just attack these fight scenes. Haha, pun intended. And, yeah, I mean, he said to me, I really want you to bring what you brought in this, in the wrestling world. And so I kind of thought it was a good opportunity for me to showcase, you know, some of the wrestling moves.
Yeah,
to the movie world, I was going to lead
into that. Like, I was going to ask if your career in pro wrestling really like made you apt for something of this nature.
100%. And in a couple ways, because number one, I was able to approach these fight scenes from a different perspective. I didn't exactly, me and Andrea kind of didn't approach it as stunt ladies. We approached it as fighters.
Yeah.
All right. So there's a little different feel to the scenes. And I think that's why people are like, there's like that kind of, you know, when you watch those fight scenes and you'll cringe, that's what you're going to get, but in a good way.
What, okay, have you ever seen a movie like with fight scenes that is just like, oh, somebody had to get hurt. And they use the scene where somebody got hurt.
No.
Really?
Mine.
You don't have like a pick off? Because there's
okay,
a movie.
Go, name one.
There's a French movie called District B-13. And there's this one fight scene in a casino. And it looks, either it's a dummy or it's the most ingeniously planned out fight scene I've ever seen. Because it looks like a guy like is flipped over and lands the side of his head on the edge of a table. And it's all one shot.
Are you sure you weren't watching Raw?
No, I was not watching. It was French, so I don't think that it was Raw, but there's always a possibility.
Bienvenue, Raw.
Are there times, like, because everyone always talks about in UFC that fighters are always fighting when they're hurt. Is that the same in the WWE? Guys are injured and they still go out and put on the show?
Oh, yeah. Yep. I mean, we all do it. You know, the thing is there's no recovery time, so you're constantly going. And, you know, let's be honest, it's a very physical job. And you know, if you imagine you're fighting in this ring and you're pumped, you have adrenaline, and then you get in a car and you might drive 200 miles to the next town. And so your body's like, what's going on? Please, can I rest? And no, you go to sleep, you get up and you do it all over again. Or you fly to Europe and there's no off season. So it's a really crazy schedule. And I think, you know, it's kind of like when you work, you get paid. And that's kind of how it is. The only time in 7 years that I was off was when I was injured. So it was my wrist.
How'd you get hurt?
Oh, man. I'll show you. This is not good for radio, but I have a missing knuckle here.
Hokey smokes.
Okay. I had a couple fake teeth because they got knocked out by a trash can lid.
Who did that to you?
Victoria did that.
What do you do when you're in the ring and you knocked out your teeth? Is there like a secret like move you do when they realize, wow, they're really hurt, I got to take it easy on them and get them out of the ring?
Well, first of all, you have to let the person know that before. So that's the difficult
part. How do you do that?
There's a few signs. We kind of, you know, have told the ref. When I dislocated my shoulder, I had an anterior dislocation, as they call it. And, you know, I was selling the fact that my arm was sore. And then I had to tell the ref, I'm like, no, this one's for real. Can't go on. So we, you know, ended up disqualifying the match. And we changed. The finish was a little bit different than it was supposed to be. So things like that happen. And you're live performing in front of 20,000 fans. And millions of fans are all over the world are watching. And you have to just make it to the best moment and continue the story and do what you got to do. When your tooth gets knocked out, you just spit it out. And you keep going. And then afterwards you're like, did my tooth, it's gone, right? Yeah, I thought so.
Wow.
And then you fix it.
Did they get a good dental plan in the WWE?
They took care of me.
All right. So, okay.
As I flash my smile.
What is the website people can go to get more information?
TrishStratus.com and it's /bounty hunters. So we have all the information there. We have all the cast information there. You can get more information on tough. Ruby is Andrea's nemesis name. So that's her, Ruby. So watch for Ruby,
yes.
A.K.A. Andrew James Louie, because she kicks some serious butt.
Well, thank you for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
And your teeth look fantastic.
Oh, wait, thank you.